Each and every morning that God gives us to meet is a blessing. We can learn from Him, we can be taught by Him, and our lives are never the same. And that's the beauty of the Word of God, because when we are in His presence, when we are with Him, we are really not alone. We are covered, we are provided, we are sheltered, we are taught, and we keep growing. And, you know, just as we've been looking at, you know, eschatology and the study of the final days, and looking at all the events that take place towards the end of the world. And ideally, as you've seen, we have seven seals. And this starts, you know, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where John is taken to heaven and he's told, come up hither or come up higher. And God takes him up higher, and he sees the one seated on the throne, and the one seated on the throne had a scroll in his hand, and it had seven seals, and there was no one found in heaven worthy who could open the scrolls. And you know, John started to weep, but then one of the elders tells him, weep not, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, the Root of David has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the scroll and to open it. And so Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, who has prevailed, who is the Lamb, you know, that was slain before the foundations of the world were laid, the Lamb took the scroll and he opened the seals. And so when he opened the seals, he opens seven seals one by one. The first six seals are open, and you know, they represent the various times in history, you know, from the white horse to the red horse to the, you know, to the black horse to the green horse, to the souls of people crying, you know, under the throne of God asking for redemption, you know, to all, you know, all these earthquakes and famines and people being killed. And then eventually we get to the seventh seal, which now the seventh seal also has its own components. Now the seventh seal represents the final phase where of time, the final eons of time before Christ comes back. And in the seventh seal, which we believe then we have now within the seventh seal, we have seven trumpets. And in the seven trumpets, we see the first, you know, the first four are judgments in which angels come. You know, we see in the first trumpet that, you know, hail and fire falls from the skies. Then we see, you know, the stone falling into the sea and turning it to blood. We see, you know, the fresh water becomes affected by a sky falling and poisoning wormwood. We see the fourth trumpet where, you know, a third of the moon, the sun and the stars are turned dark. And then we see now the fifth, the sixth and the seventh, which are the three wars. And then remember, in the first war, we see that the scorpions come, you know, the demonic locusts that have stings of scorpion. And then we have the demonic horses, which have fire in their mouths. They burn the people. And then we have the seventh trumpet, which is sounded. And in the seventh trumpet is where the kingdoms of our Lord becomes the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. And in the seventh trumpet is where we see, within it, we see that there are seven thunders, and then within it we see that there are seven bowls of judgment. But in between the seven trumpets, there is preaching that God wants us to preach. There are two witnesses that God brings on the earth, and they preach during the great tribulation period. Then we also have the angel that stands, you know, one leg in the sea and one in the land, and he tells John, take this little scroll and prophesy to the people, prophesy to many peoples, to many kings, to many thrones, you know, and languages. And we see that in between, before the final completion of the seventh trumpet, God takes his, you know, his people. And because we know that seven represents completion, God's number of completion. And now the last form of judgment that happens is the seven bowls of judgment. And we've seen already, just before the last seven bowls of judgment are poured out, we've seen that the people in heaven, they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. They have sung the song, the 144,000, of which only Christ could have taught them. They're having great victory. They're rejoicing in the victory of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord pulls them out of the earth through the rapture. And as he pulls them out, then they now watch and see the judgment that happens on the beast. Remember, the beast has been there on the earth. He has made people have their mark. And those who have the mark of the beast, they refuse to repent despite all this judgment. So in the seven bowls of the seven plagues, of the seven bowls of judgment, here we are now in the final judgment that God is pouring out on the people, on those who have the mark of the beast. Then beyond this, we see is that now Christ comes to establish his victory over the Antichrist and over the earth, where we have the millennial reign of Christ. We have the 1,000 years where we are on the earth, and then at the end of the 1,000 years, we know the devil will be released for a short time to deceive the people, and they will come again to another final battle. And after that final battle, then there will be the last judgment. And in the last judgment, there will be the second resurrection for those who, or rather the first resurrection for those who, sorry, the second for those who had not risen up in Christ. They will arise and be judged, white throne of judgment of God, death and Hades and the devil and the, you know, the Antichrist and the false prophet, the beasts will all be thrown into the lake of fire. And then for us now will be established now the new heaven and the new earth, and that is what we call the age of the world to come. So when we look at that timeline, we are able to see God does not want us to be ignorant, and that's what we read already in Thessalonians, when we started Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul was and 4, where he was telling his people that I do not want you to be ignorant, because people are saying the end of the world has come, the day of the Lord has come, but there are certain things that must take place first before the day of the Lord. So I just wanted to give you a clean timeline of what we've been looking at, and within one core that we need to understand in the tribulation period, we divide it into two. We have the tribulation period, which is the first 3.5 years, where the Antichrist comes. He creates peace. He's, you know, all the nations honor him. He's a good man. But then in the middle of the tribulation period, we now start the 3.5 years where he, you know, he turns away from God, and or rather he turns away and claims to be worshipped. He removes every abolition, everything that is to be worshipped. He does, you know, he desecrates the temple and he calls himself God. He creates a statue where he's to be worshipped. The mark of the beast is there. And then, you know, he's given power to harm and kill the Christians. But what we know is that God will save his people from that hour of trial. And we believe in the mid-tribulation period, the middle of that 3.5 years, Christ will take his church. Yeah, so we are today in Revelation chapter 15. And we are going to see the seven bowls of judgment. We'll look from verse 5. And we've just seen there's a great victory that the saints are rejoicing. And now the people on the earth are experiencing the final seven bowls of judgment. Verse 5, it says, Revelation 15, then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. So remember, whenever we see the scriptures, they point us to what also has happened. You know, like the Old Testament points us to the New. So when we think of the plagues that happened in Egypt, you know, when God was destroying the Egyptians and setting free the Israelites, we also see a repeat of those plagues in the last days. So there's a lot of duality in the Bible, where you will see things that are happening in the Old Testament are being reflected, just like we saw, you know, when these people are rescued, they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. They were just rescued from the darkness. We see there's a sea of fire You know, there are many symbolisms that we see. And remember, the message was given to John through signs. It was signified to John. That means it was given to him as symbols. That's why people mostly claim to find Revelation to be very difficult to understand. So in chapter 16, it says, "Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath.' So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, terrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue." So remember, it was given a must. If you want to buy or sell anything, you must have the mark of the beast. But now you see, because those who took the mark of the beast, they now have to face the judgment of the Lord. And you can see the first plague is their sores breaking out on them. Cancerous sores, malignant sores. And think of, Egypt. They also had these sores. You remember, they had the gnats attacking their skin, attacking them. So this is a repeat of that. They had these boils, Okay, verse 3, it says, "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died." Remember, Moses, touched, went to the Nile and made it red. It became as blood, and all the animals of the fish died, and it was stinking, and no one could drink. Verse 4, it says, "The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, 'You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blank blood to drink. It is their just reward.'" So you can see, God turns the rivers, the waters, blood. Remember, the first it's the sea that became blood, but now even the rivers and the springs, the ones on the earth, are also turned to blood. And you see, there's an angel that is in charge of everything. So there's an angel in charge of the water. What does he say? He says, "God, you are just." Why? Because these people, they killed your prophets. Remember, they killed your martyrs. They killed your servants. Remember the souls of those crying under the altar, in the fifth trumpet. And they were crying under the water. Under the altar of God. And they were asking God, how long till you avenge our blood? Now, this is where now we see there is now God starts his just judgment, and the angel says God's judgment is just. Remember, the whole world has had this message. The whole world has been given a simple message. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. Believe. But because you do not believe, then they're subjected to judgment. Verse 7, "And I heard a voice from the altar saying, 'Yes, O Lord Almighty, your judgments are true and just.'" Verse 8, "Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control of all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory." Look at the sadness. The sun used to be considered a god. People worship the sun even today. But even the sun is judged. And you see, the sun is given power to scorch everyone with its fire and heat waves, and they cursed God who had control over these plagues, but yet they did not repent. Why? Because it is now not given for them to repent. They have rejected God. They have chosen their own way. God has given everyone a chance to repent. But since they took the mark of the beast, they are sealed, because by the mark of the beast, they now have to face judgment. They worship the statue. Verse 10, Revelation 16. "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores, but they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God." Look at, remember Egypt, there were 3 days darkness. The same way we are seeing, the kingdom of the beast will be plunged into darkness. Yet they're having their souls, yet they're having the water as blood, yet they're having the sun burning them, yet they're having darkness, yet they still do not repent. Verse 12, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. And look, I will come as expectantly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me and who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. Verse 16, and the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and all their armies to a place with the Hebrew named Armageddon. Now, just to understand that, in the sixth plague, what happens is the Euphrates River, and what we understand is that the Euphrates River actually forms, you know, like a natural boundary, against the empires that are to the east, that is Babylon, Assyria, and Persia, that are to the east of Israel. And you know, when the Euphrates River dries up, they actually now, it creates a way for them to come and fight against Jerusalem or against God's people. But you see, as that happens, also they are given demonic powers. You can see that three frogs come out of the, you know, of the mouth of the beast, of the false prophet, and these ones, they are given powers to work miracles. You can imagine. So if people are looking for miracles, they are going to be deceived. Why? Because the devil already has his demons that do powers and miracles. And you see, because if you're looking for prophecy, the devil has his diviners, which doctors have the ability to tell you your future and to see things and to tell you who's your great grandfather and to tell you things like that. So if those are the things that drive you to make you believe in men of God, then you can easily fall for the beast. Why? Because the beast will have come with the workings of signs, miracles. But you see, we must know the truth, because if you know the truth shall set you free, and you shall have the discernment to know which is the right way and which is the truth. Then we're in verse 17, where it says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is the end. It is done. Verse 18. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath, and every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled and made flat. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds, you can imagine, that's almost 35 kilos, fell from the sky on the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. So we can see the final plague is the worst, where we see there is, you know, judgment. There's a great earthquake. The great city Babylon, which represents, you know, the nations that have not honored God, they split into three parts. The cities of many nations. You can imagine an earthquake that all the cities of many nations becomes just flat. You know, hills are leveled. There are no valleys. Everything becomes a rubble. And you can imagine islands disappeared. And remember, there were people on those islands. They disappeared, the mountains were leveled, and those terrible hailstorm. hailstones falling as much as 35 kilos, 75 pounds, falling from the sky. You can imagine that is a rock hitting you, and the people cursed God because of the terrible plague. But do you think they repented? No, because they have rejected Christ. You see, and just if we look at verse 17 and chapter 17, which we'll be able to see by the grace of God onwards, which is the judgment of the great prostitute. And this is now an indication. We are in the seventh, you know, the seventh bowl of judgment. We've seen all the hailstones, but you see now God judges Babylon, and we'll see she's called the great mother of prostitutes, you know, and harlots and abominations of the earth, mystery, Babylon the Great. And she's judged, and also in chapter 18, where the fall of Babylon. And then when the fall of Babylon is done, then we have songs of victory in heaven. Victory in heaven. Why? Because Christ our Lord is victorious. So all these events are given for us to for our learning, for our preparation. God tells us we need to be ready. Why? Because at any point he will come like a thief in the night. We have just read there where it says that, look, I will come as a thief. Verse 15 of Revelation 16, blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. Blessed are all who are watching for me and keep their clothing ready, so that they will not walk around naked and be ashamed. God is telling us, I am coming. Are we ready? I am coming. Are we ready? I am coming, that we shall not be found naked. May we keep our garments clean. And how do we keep our garments clean? By reminding us we are keeping our faith in Christ, and keeping our oils, our lamps burning. Let us have oil in our lamps. Let us be those wise virgins, that these days do not catch us unawares. And when he comes as a thief in the night, he shall find us ready, and we shall be saved from all these judgments that shall come upon all those who refuse the Lord and who took up the mark of the beast. So I will stop here for now, and I welcome my sister. You're welcome for any reflections as God places in your heart. Welcome.
No, thank you so much, Dr. Emmanuel. Thank you for the word. I didn't have any reaction.
Okay, we thank God. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us your ways. You show us the things that are to take place, the things that you've shown us, the future, O God. And indeed, judgment awaits them that have rejected you. You came into the world to convict the world of sin, O God, and indeed to administer your justice and your judgment, O God. I plead your mercies over my listener, over them that are not faithful, over them that are struggling, over them that need to hear the word of truth, O God. May your mercies prevail. May your hand prevail. May your grace have mercy, O God, for them that need to receive you as Lord Christ and Lord and Savior. May you accept them this moment, even as they ask of you, O God. And I pray for our needs. I pray for our family members. I pray for everyone that concerns us, O God, our workplaces, O God. May your hand protect and keep us, keep and sustain us. In all these things, we know that we are more than conquerors in our health, in the church, in our families, O God. We experience your victory all around us, O God. We need you more and more, O God. Guide us, direct us, and be with us, O God. Even as we do our own business, as we go about it, keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. We honor you, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, shalom, and have a blessed day.